And hello once again. Welcome to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. Today in the studio on this Medical Monday, Dr. Russell Cecil, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon in St. Mary's Hospital in Amsterdam, New York. He specializes in hand surgery and joint replacement, specifically custom-made knee replacements. Dr. Cecil earned his medical degree and PhD in bone pathology at Cornell University Medical Center. He did his internship and residency at Mass General and was appointed an instructor in orthopedic surgery at Harvard University Medical School. He is the founder of Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Amsterdam, New York, is a board-certified member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, and is currently an assistant clinical professor at Albany Medical College. Dr. Cecil, welcome to the program today.
Glad to be here, Brian.
To be part of today's conversation, you can give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC VoxPop, and you can email us today at voxpop@wamc.org. But if you prefer the old-fashioned method, 800-348-2551. Dr. Cecil, when somebody comes to you with a hand problem, with a joint problem, is it usually from injury, or is it just old man time has worn out the moving parts and it needs to be replaced?
Roughly a third of my patients are from an injury, and two-thirds are worn out, too many birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were talking, you're a hand specialist.
Well, I do a lot of hand surgery. I started off in Amsterdam doing everything.
Yeah.
And gradually have spun off parts of my practice to some partners.
I think we all take our hands for granted that they're always going to be there, they're always going to be working. But I guess with keyboards nowadays, and everybody using a keyboard or a tweet or whatever, the hands must really be taking a pounding, are they?
That's an interesting question. A lot of people file workman's compensation claims because of overuse on keyboards. There's actually no evidence that keyboarding causes hand problems or even carpal tunnel syndrome,
really,
which is a pinched nerve at the wrist. There is a little bit of evidence that using a mouse can cause carpal tunnel syndrome, yeah, cause tendonitis in the hand, but not keyboarding per se.
So once again, the hand problems you see, a third an accident, two-thirds old man time.
Yeah, carpal tunnel syndrome is by a million miles the most common problem that hand surgeons see.
Right.
And the carpal tunnel is a space in your wrist through which passes the tendons that bend your fingers and also the nerve that goes to the three fingers by your thumb. And what happens is the tendons swell up, get tendonitis, and put pressure on the nerve, and the nerve is squished against the ligament that makes one side of the carpal tunnel. And so it's usually things that cause the tendons to swell up. Probably the most common cause is diabetes, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
800-348-2551, the number to call. 800-348-2551. Dr. Russell Cecil is our guest, and we're talking about joint replacements, specifically custom-made knee replacements, also hand surgery, custom-made knee replacements. All knees are not the same, and everybody's got to have one that fits them, I suppose.
Well, this is something that's relatively new. It came from some people in Boston to make custom-made knee replacements. Most knee replacements are made in one shape, and then the manufacturer sizes them up. Typically, they'll have 8 sizes for the thigh bone piece and 8 sizes for the shin bone piece. Let me say, first of all, that what is a knee replacement? It's a replacement for the worn-away cartilage. Mm. It's just a smooth cap that gets glued on the end of your bone. Now, it turns out that everybody's bone has a different shape to it. And so it's critical that the knee replacement be put in the right spot. And it's only in the last few years that the doctors have started to use computers and most recently patient-specific cutting jigs so we make the bone cuts, that the parts fit on the bone in the right spot. And just recently, another company called Conformis from outside of Boston has developed custom-made knee replacements. They actually take a CT scan of your knee. They make a three-dimensional model, computer model of that, and then use three-dimensional 3D printing technology to make a custom-made implant. It's a fascinating thing. The really interesting thing is that at this time, there's not any good evidence that they work any better than off-the-shelf implants.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a small study with some of my patients who volunteered to have one knee. These are people having bilateral simultaneous total knee replacements. They get one knee done with an off-the-shelf implant and the other one with a custom-made knee. And then I don't tell them which is which. And then when they've healed, I say, well, which do you prefer?
The placebo.
Well, not quite. It's actually.
Yeah, I know what you mean, sure. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Do these things have to be replaced? Do they last forever if you're, let's say, you know, in your 50s?
Well, you know, the rule of thumb with the guy sitting in the next bar stool is that they're only good for 10 years. Mm. And that might have been true 30 or 40 years ago. But the manufacturers have dramatically improved the quality of the materials that they're made out of. And there's one company now which is actually advertising a 30-year knee replacement. They more or less guarantee it for 30 years.
Wow.
And the truth is that I have not had to revise any knee replacements for wear since the 1980s.
800-348-2551. The first question today comes from Delmar. Lizette, go ahead. Lizette, are you there? Hello? Okay, let's move on to Carol. Carol, are you there? Well, apparently some phone troubles, but we'll try to get them all.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. Carol, go right ahead.
Yes, I had a question. I've had a fracture to my wrist, the distal radius from a fall, and I had a closed reduction done on it and casted, and the x-ray shows it is still aligned. The question is, the person that I'm seeing for follow-up care, this happened out of the country, has indicated that adults require surgery most of the time for an injury like this. And they're kind of waffling a little bit on what we should do because it is healing straight. So I'm interested in your perspective on how often these require surgery, why, and what the best approach is to take.
Well, this is actually the most common fracture in all of orthopedics, the fracture of the distal radius at the wrist. And it was first described by Dr. Abraham Collies about 200 or 300 years ago in England. And he said that they will frequently heal crooked. He said that the deformity will look like a bent silver spoon, but everybody will have a perfectly usable hand, and they require really no intervention. And that was the conventional wisdom until just a few years ago, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, when the surgeons started to operate on these fractures. And at this time, it's amazing that even though this is the most common fracture that we see, we still don't have very clear guidelines about when to operate and when not to operate. I think if your fracture is well aligned, there's little question that very few people would recommend an operation for you. The question comes up if the fracture fragments are knocked apart and your wrist is deformed, if you should have an operation, because it just turns out that the way that the muscles pull on the fracture fragments, it's very difficult or just about impossible to keep them lined up in a cast. And so if you have a bad deformity at the time of the fracture, which apparently you did not, then it might be a good idea to try to realign the bones and keep them realigned with some type of internal or external fixation. And there's been a tremendous shift in the last few years, maybe the last 10 years, towards cutting the wrist open and putting a steel plate and screws in. I think we don't know the answer to this yet, but I think that on balance, it's probably going to turn out to be a good thing. I think most of these patients are happy. The obvious downside of having an operation is having an operation where you have the potential for complications. So just in summary, then, it sounds like if your fracture is well-aligned, there's no question that you do not need an operation. For other people, it might be the right choice.
Okay, thank you. That kind of helps me understand a little bit of the info they've given.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. Doctor, you opened the door. What about complications? Are they rare?
I think in wrist fracture surgery, they're relatively rare. You know, the typical complications in orthopedics include infections, mm-hmm. which are unfortunately fairly common in joint replacements. Infections are oftentimes related to the size of artificial material that you put in the human body, because it turns out if you put a big hunk of metal in your body, it protects, it's a protected area from your body's ability to fight infection, and so they oftentimes do get infected. But with the wrist fractures, the implants are actually fairly small. The incidence of infection is pretty low. Other problems associated with surgery on the wrist fracture include potentially damaging the nerve, which is the same nerve that's involved in the carpal tunnel, which runs right by the fracture site. And then when you put screws into the wrist, we usually put the steel plate on the bottom of your wrist, and the screws come out the top. And there's a problem if the screws are put in too long and they stick through the bone, that they can erode into the tendons and straighten out your fingers. and that can be an issue.
Does the immune system attack the metal and the plastic and the screws?
No, because it's, no, the immune system, generally speaking, does not attack these implants. These implants are selected to be made out of materials which are biocompatible, which don't create a big immune response. But the bacteria can deposit themselves on these implants and actually secrete a sort of a sugary film around themselves that protects the bacteria from your body's immune system.
800-348-2551. Susan in Boyceville, go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling about a knee issue. I had a knee operation in about 40 years ago, and now I'm in my 60s and thinking about knee replacement. I've never had the same range of motion since that initial operation many years ago, and I'm wondering if I'll have a better range of motion with an artificial knee.
Well, the answer is you might have a better range of motion with an artificial knee. It turns out that the best predictor of your range of motion after a total knee replacement is your range of motion before you had the total knee replacement. Mm. And if we look at all the different joint replacements that we do, knees, hips, shoulders, knee replacements actually have the highest incidence of dissatisfied patients. About 15% of the people who get a knee replacement are dissatisfied with the knee replacement, primarily because of pain or stiffness. And we're not really 100% sure why that is. We were talking a little bit earlier about custom-made knee replacements, and we think it's possible that with a custom-made knee replacement that just fits your knee better, that you might have less pain and less stiffness. But that's an open question at this time. We don't know the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551 is the number. Call today on Medical Monday on Vox Pop. We're talking about bone replacement of St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam. We have with us Dr. Russell Cecil, and we're talking about custom-made knee replacements, joint replacements, and hand surgery at 800-348-2551. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Premier Medical Group, gastroenterology, urology, internal medicine, endocrinology, geriatrics, nephrology, and pulmonology with offices throughout the Hudson Valley. PremierMedicalHV.com. Four Seasons Natural Food Store and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, New York. Locally owned and operated since 1988. Open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. FourSeasonsNaturalFoods.com. And The Garrison in the Hudson Highlands, a country inn and the Valley Restaurant now open all year with Hudson River views. Private event spaces, winter getaway packages, and holiday gift certificates available. TheGarrison.com.
Our guest today on Vox Pop on Medical Monday, Dr. Russell Cecil, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon at St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, a specialist in hand surgery and joint replacement, specifically custom-made knee replacements. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Doctor, a letter in from an iPad. I have an elderly relative in her 80s with Alzheimer's and heart arrhythmia in a long-term care facility. Her left hand is severely contracting and causing wound injury to her palm. A splinter is tried, but it's still being injured. What is the general cause of this contraction? Is an alternative a surgical procedure? And if there is surgery, would it be general or local anesthesia? I know there's a lot there, but let's start with the severely contracting hand on this elderly Alzheimer's patient.
Well, the contracture is caused by her neurologic problem. She is stopped using her hand, and she's developing this spontaneous contracture, and it's actually a fairly simple problem to fix. You can make a small incision in the wrist and just sever the tendons that bend the fingers, and then they will stop digging a hole into the palm. It can be done with local anesthesia and takes about 5 minutes.
Really? Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Let's talk now to Paul. Paul in Albany. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a, on my right hand pinky finger, a small nodule on the inside of the first knuckle. And it I noticed it a couple of years ago. It's gotten slightly larger now. It's hard to straighten the finger all the way. It's not painful except for when it's there's a lot of moisture. The weather gets quite warm because I think your hand swells up a little bit more. And so my GP recommended that I go to an orthopedist and have it surgically removed. I was just wondering if you had any insight on that based on my description over the phone.
Well, it sounds like you might have a disease called Dupuytren's contracture. Is that what your internist told you?
He didn't mention it. He didn't name it.
Okay. The alternative thing you might have is a small ganglion cyst. But if your finger is gradually bending down, it sounds more like you have Dupuytren's disease. And that is basically a skin disease, believe it or not. And there's the traditional treatment for that is to surgically excise the fibrous tissue in the under layer of the skin. There's a newer treatment for this now called Xiaflex, where you can actually just inject an enzyme into the contracture and dissolve it so you can straighten out your finger.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. You mentioned a ganglion. I used to get those. I don't get them anymore. What is that? It's this little lump that used to appear right on the top of my wrist.
Well, as you said, Brian, it's a small lump, most frequently on the top of your wrist. Mm-hmm. And really what it is, it's a hernia from the tissue that holds the lubricating fluid in the joint in place. And so it bulges out, kind of like if you have a weak spot on the side of your tire, the pressure in there will make it bulge out. And so it's a little sack of joint fluid. And historically, people used to say, hit it with a Bible.
Yeah, I had a doctor in college at the health center tell me, hit it with a book.
Yeah. I don't think that's an effective treatment.
I got a second opinion, believe me.
Yeah. and you can obviously do some damage that way. If the ganglion bothers you and it persists, it can be surgically removed. Ganglions oftentimes fluctuate in size, and sometimes they'll resolve spontaneously.
Yeah, mine just went away.
Exactly. So they don't all need surgery. And when I see a patient with a ganglion, unless they've had it for a long time, I usually tell them, well, why don't you just give it a few months and wait and see? It might go away by itself.
They look a lot worse than they are.
That's right.
800-348-2551. Lisette is back. Sorry we let you go in the first part of the program. Lisette, go ahead.
Hi. I'm a woman in my early 60s. And I had surgery for a torn meniscus a year ago, and I was just recently diagnosed with osteochondritis dissecans. And the two doctors I spoke to suggested that I find someone who I could explore a partial knee replacement with. And I was wondering what your thoughts on that were.
Well, it actually sounds like a good idea to me. A partial knee replacement is basically half a total knee replacement. As I mentioned earlier, a total knee replacement is a smooth cap that replaces the worn-away cartilage in your knee. And a partial replacement is just half of that. There are a lot of advantages of a partial replacement. First of all, it's less invasive. It's quicker surgery. So your recovery is quicker. You have less pain post-op. But the main advantage is that by preserving the part of your knee which is intact, your knee will feel more natural afterwards than compared to if it was entirely, totally replaced. So there are a lot of advantages. The disadvantage, however, is that in the part of the knee which isn't replaced, as time passes, it's possible to develop arthritis in that area and have to have the partial replacement taken out and converted to a total knee replacement. If you look at the actual statistics on how many partial replacements get converted eventually to a total knee replacement, most studies show that the number is 15% to 20%, which is substantially higher than the number of total knee replacements that get converted. But I think that the advantage, as I said, is that means that there's an 80% chance that it won't be converted to a total knee, and you have a good chance at having a better functioning knee than an totally artificial knee replacement. Because remember, the knee you were born with is always going to work better than something man-made.
Well, I'm finding that the present condition is really debilitating and affecting my activity. How would I go about finding a doctor who is experienced in the partial knee replacements and who could discuss the pros and cons more in depth with me?
I think that most orthopedists who specialize in joint replacements, who do a lot of joint replacements, can do a partial knee replacement. The Conformis company has actually developed a custom-made partial knee replacement which I think is an interesting idea. It turns out that a partial knee replacement is a technically more difficult operation than a total knee replacement because you have to match the implant to the patient's existing tissue and the rest of their body, and it just turns out that's a lot easier to do if you're using a custom-made partial knee replacement.
Okay, so, I mean, how would I find a doctor who specializes in joint replacement then?
Well,
the two orthopedic surgeons, they said, well, I can't help you with that.
There are some orthopedists who do joint replacements who don't do partial knee replacements. As I said, it's technically a little bit more challenging. There's a higher revision rate, and some people have been discouraged by that. But I think if you call any fairly large orthopedic group and ask to see their doctor who does joint replacements, or you can actually just ask the secretary to make an appointment with the guy who does partial knee replacements, or for that matter.
So do you do them?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and you're in Amsterdam?
Out in Amsterdam, yes.
Okay. All right. This has been really helpful. I didn't know what questions to ask my doctor because I really didn't do the research until after. And so this is very fortuitous that you're on the radio today, and I thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Doctor, how do we avoid all this? Nobody wants to get their knees replaced. Is there a way to avoid all this with diet, exercise, keeping a healthy weight?
Great question, Brian. You know, absolutely. The best way to avoid getting arthritis is to stay slim. The number one cause of arthritis in our population is obesity. There's some people who are just genetically going to be born to get arthritis, and there's a small percentage of people who have rheumatoid arthritis, which is an inflammatory type of arthritis, but modern drugs have really cut back on the amount of joint deformity we see from that condition now.
Is this carried from generation to generation? For instance, if my parents and grandparents had some joint problems, some knee problems, am I more likely to get it? Is it in my DNA?
Yes, that's true. And there's a company called 23andMe, which is currently having some difficulties with the FDA, that will analyze your DNA and tell you not only your risk of getting arthritis, but thousands of other diseases, including diabetes, cancer, you name it.
Sometimes that's better information. I'd rather not know. I don't know. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Let's see. Wendy in Greenwich. Greenwich, New York. Go ahead.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, good.
Henry. I have a question. In 1998, I had an open compound fracture of my tib fib, and they inserted a pin, although I like to call it a rod since I consider it bigger than a pin. And, you know, before that, I'd been a runner and very athletic with all kinds of activities. And since then, pretty much hiking, horseback riding is okay for it. It's very unhappy on ellipticals and that sort of thing. I am 45 now, so this is, you know, 15 years I've had this. And I'm just wondering what your experience has been with how these knees age when they've been through that surgery. If mine has been acting particularly badly after the surgery, you know.
Do you have a deformity in your limb, or is it straight?
It did heal straight, thanks to the pinning.
Okay. Well,
I am knock-kneed, though. I do have sort of knock-knees, but it never, you know, before that, I used to run all the, like, long distances all the time, and it never bothered me.
Do you know if you have arthritis in your knee?
They do say that they see signs of arthritis in my knee, and that they see signs of cartilage damage when they've done x-rays.
Okay. Is your pain mostly in your knee or mostly where you broke your leg?
That's a good question. Mostly in my knee. You know, there's certain times I do feel it at the break site.
Okay. Well, then you're the type of person who probably would like to avoid knee replacement surgery at least for a while because you're so young and so active. And so the question you're really asking is, what are the alternative treatments to joint replacement surgery for a young, active person? Have you had cortisone shots in your knee?
Actually, Doctor, I pretty much manage the pain by staying really active. So I don't feel that I need cortisone injections. I guess I'm more worried about the long term, or how much more quickly this kind of knee, you know, a knee that's been through this is going to sort of degrade, or whatever the term would be.
Yeah, well, if you have some arthritis now and you find that it's getting worse, it will probably gradually get worse over a period of time. We don't have a good way for me to give you an exact time frame, but it could be 3 years, it could be 10 years. But we do have alternative treatments to joint replacement surgery to help people put off getting joint replacements.
Okay. And is the surgery I had, like, what happened that caused the need to, you know, I mean, is that expected from that kind of surgery? My doctor did warn me, but I didn't know if that was typical.
Well, you might have had some damage to the joint at the time that you broke your leg. It's a little bit unpredictable. Many people who break their tib fib and have a rod placed never get arthritis in their knee.
Okay.
I would guess that there's a slightly increased risk because you might have had some associated injuries at the time that you broke it.
Yeah.
But,
I hadn't thought of that.
But just putting the rod in shouldn't in and of itself cause arthritis.
Okay, because they do knock the knee joint off, right, when they put the rod in? So I thought maybe the ligament's getting stretched, but not typically?
No. The entry hole for the rod is in the front of the knee. It's really not in the joint.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Dr. Russell Cecil, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon in St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, a specialist in hand surgery and joint replacement, also custom-made knee replacements. Doctor, this sounds all pretty painful, especially after the surgery. How do you treat the pain? I would imagine Tylenol doesn't quite get the job done, but there are people, and maybe with good reason, who are afraid of those real powerful painkillers for a number of reasons, but maybe addiction. How do you treat the pain?
Well, knee replacement surgery is probably some of the most painful orthopedic surgery that people undergo. And dealing with the pain post-op is a huge issue. And we've made some advances in the last few years. One thing we do now is we give people nerve blocks post-op. In other words, the anesthesia doctor will put a little tiny catheter adjacent to the nerves that go to your knee, and they can squirt in a little bit of numbing medicine, same stuff the dentist uses, to cut down on the pain. And they don't want to totally paralyze your leg with that or temporarily paralyze your leg because then it's hard to walk, but they can give you enough of this stuff so that you have less pain. We also give people injections of a whole cocktail of pain medicine into the tissues of the joint at the time that we do the surgery. And there's some emerging evidence that that might help diminish the pain for a pretty long time, a day or two after the knee replacement surgery. We also try to use a variety of pain medicines, not just narcotics post-op, so that you don't get that nauseated narcotic overdose feeling.
And this isn't really gentle surgery. I remember seeing something on TV, and this doctor was holding a scalpel and really kind of pounding away, and I thought, wow.
Well, it's violent. I mean, we take a high-powered saw to cut the bone off of the end of the knee, and then when you actually comes time to implant the parts, you take a big mallet and basically hit them as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient, it will wake the patients up. The noise is so loud sometimes.
Oof. 800-348-2551. Let's see. Let's talk to Rhonda. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Hi. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have been listening to this. I go in to see an orthopedic surgeon this Friday for the first time concerning my knees, and a joint replacement by a previous doctor had been brought up as a possibility for me. I have severe arthritis in my left knee, and my right knee has been giving me more trouble. I wonder, is it possible with the pain that I'm having to have it, is it possible for it to be reversed by losing weight and physical therapy? I weigh 174 pounds, and I'm 5'1", so I know I'm way overweight. Is it possible to reverse the pain I'm having by weight loss and therapy?
It definitely is possible. Losing weight and exercise are both things that can make an arthritic knee much less painful. And I've had a few patients over the years who I counseled to lose weight, and they were able to do it, and they ended up not having to have a knee replacement.
Wow.
And exercise is a good thing, too.
Yeah. I mean, right now I can't exercise a lot because of the pain I'm having, but... Can you tell me what questions I should ask when I go in to see this surgeon on Friday?
Well, you should ask him what alternative treatments he can offer you besides knee replacement surgery first. And have you had any alternative treatments?
Just, I had fluid drained off my knee, and they discussed cortisone, but I almost fainted on the table when they took off the fluid.
Well, you might ask him to just give you a shot of cortisone and not draw off the fluid, because it's the drawing off of the fluid part which is painful. Getting a cortisone shot is almost painless.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I think that would be a good place to start. And then diet and exercise are things to discuss with him. It sounds to me like you're not quite ready for a knee replacement.
Boy, especially after hearing what has to be done, it really makes me think I don't want to go through that if I don't have to.
Well, I think that's exactly the way you want to be thinking about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling 800-348-2551. Doctor, after the surgery is done, what kind of rehab has to be done? Do you make them walk, get out there, get back on the knee, or kind of give it a rest for a while?
The more active the patients are, the better that they will do post-op.
Mm-hmm.
The people who do poorly after knee replacement are typically people who experience a lot of pain and they feel sorry for themselves and just want to sit in a chair and not move.
You don't want them to run the Boston Marathon, but you also don't want them to watch
TV
all day.
Actually, you know, they can't really do any damage after a knee replacement. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as overdoing it. So I tell my patients, you know, when you leave the hospital, if you can walk from here to Schenectady, be my guest, it's not going to do any harm.
Really?
The more active they are, the better that they will do. And it's not going to do any damage. And so if a well-meaning friend or relative tells them that they're overdoing it, I tell the patients they're mistaken.
Vox Pop on WAMC. More calls after a quick break.
Support comes from Middletown Medical, now offering evening walk-in urgent care for children every weeknight until 9, plus evening sports physicals, 845-342-4774. Furniture options, Goshen, specializing in the stressless, functional reclining chair engineered for head, lumbar, and body weight support, fernops.com. Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Hospital, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, providing ophthalmology, surgery, and internal medicine services for dogs and cats, now offering laser eye surgery, VESHDeerfield.com. And The Linda, presenting Seth Gleer and Antje Duvikot on Saturday, January 11th at 8 p.m., thelinda.org.
This is Vox Pop Medical Monday on WAMC. Ira in Bethel. Hello. I hear some water. Hello, Ira. Maybe his knee is draining. I'm not sure. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Alan in Stockbridge. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I was born with a fairly substantial deformity, shortening of my left leg and foot. I had two surgeries when I was younger. I wound up shortening the longer leg by almost 3 inches, a little more than 3 inches, I guess. So there's still a discrepancy between them. I've had meniscus surgery on my right knee this past summer. The doctor now claims I need a knee replacement there. I have another doctor I went to who says I need a hip replacement. I need meniscus surgery on the other leg. I'm just trying to figure out exactly who I can see, how I can go about getting a legitimate kind of appraisal of my condition and what would be best, because I'm just tired of surgeries and I'm not sure where to go.
Well, is the pain so bad that you feel that you don't have an option other than surgery?
Well, I have back issues. It's like the knee pain I can live with, but it's also because of the asymmetry I walk with. The shorter leg has been built up somewhat, so it's not, you know, it's not fully different at this point. But I'm just having back problems and have sometimes the pain shoots down my leg. Nobody can seem to get a handle on what's going on.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of different things going on. I think the best thing to do is to try to figure out which is bothering you the most and focus on that for starters. Where is the pain the worst?
Well, right now it's my back.
Okay. Then I would pursue your back and don't worry about the other joints for now. What have you done about your back?
At this point, I've done exercise. I've tried to, you know, I do heat, I do Motrin. I try to stay away from the other medications because I have problems with them.
Well, in the case of back problems, it's always a good idea to save surgery for last. But if you feel like you've you've done everything other than surgery and the pain is so bad you can't stand it, you might be helped by talking to a spine surgeon.
Is there some place where I can get a full evaluation? I mean, somebody could look at, somebody with my extreme situation and try to see me as a whole being instead of just fractured up in terms of hips and knees and backs?
Well, I would hope that most of my orthopedic colleagues could do that for you, particularly if you preface the interview the way you've prefaced your talk with me and let them know you've got multiple problems and you want somebody to take a more holistic approach and look at the whole person and put everything in context.
Yeah, I've tried that. I have not had overly great success to this point.
Well, I think you're just going to have to shop around until you find the right person.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Fox Pop on WAMC. Let's go to Mechanicville. Fran, go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Oh, your program is so informational and such a great help.
Thank you.
I'm calling for my husband, who in May had partial knee replacement of his left knee due to an accident. Recently, the previous 2 months, he's developed a lot of pain in his right knee. He went to his doctor, and he was assessed as having total bone on bone. There is still some space, but the doctor is suggesting that it looks like arthritis is developing and that he have a partial knee replacement done of the right knee. And my question is, because he is sort of hesitant, he's willing to go through it, but it's like knowing what he went through with the left knee, you're sort of, you don't want to rush into things. And I'm wondering, he's a little overweight, but he is very good at, getting into a regimen and doing what he needs to do to lose the weight. And I'm wondering, is this something that we should be rushing into? He is sort of rushing into it because the insurance plan is changing the first of the year, and we're not going to get the same coverage. So,
okay, doctor?
I think that's a very difficult situation. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of patients recently who felt that they were being pushed into getting joint replacement surgery because their insurance was changing. I think that if the handwriting is on the wall and it's inevitable he's going to get a joint replacement and you are going to lose coverage, then it's not entirely unreasonable to go ahead and get it. Now, particularly in his case, he had the partial knee replacement on the left knee, so he knows exactly what he's getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no surprises there. And if he and his doctor feel that it's inevitable he's going to have it on the right knee, and clearly it sounds like the right knee's bothering him, and you are going to take a big financial penalty unless you get this done soon, then it's reasonable to go ahead and get it done soon.
Okay, so trying to do something to divert the surgery, losing weight. Well, he is very active. He has always been a person who, exercises all the time. We have an order track. He's used it for years. So something like that would not, eventually you think that it would happen?
Well, I always counsel patients to put off joint replacement surgery as long as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm,
and if
mm-hmm.
you're thinking about getting it done for financial reasons, that's a decision that's entirely personal that you and your husband
will
have to make.
I understand that.
Okay, Frank.
Okay, but your experience is that if it looks like the writing's on the wall, then it's not really bone on bone right now, but down the road, doctor said that eventually it's going to look like that.
We've got some other callers, so I'll just let the doctor wrap it up on this one.
Yeah, I think that if it looks like the handwriting's on the wall and it's inevitable, it's not unreasonable to go ahead and get it done.
Let's move on now. Let's talk to Marcus, who's got something wrong with his pinky. Marcus, go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling about my pinky, which is on my hand.
I hope so.
Well, I wanted to know if it's necessary, really, to get surgery. I'm waiting to see a surgeon that will take a look at this. It's been a while, like close to like 8 months that this has been going on. Well, anyway, long story short, I have three lumps under my pinky, base of my pinky finger in my palm of my hand, you know, and that's more to the right. I wanted to know, well, I can't bend the finger is bending. You know, it's bent. It won't move back to a straight position. What do you suggest?
Well, it sounds like you have Dupuytren's disease, which is a skin disease that causes fibrous nodules to form in the deep layers of your skin that bends the finger down. And generally speaking, the indication to do something about it is if the bend at the closest knuckle is 30 degrees or more, or if you have any bending at the middle knuckle, it's reasonable to do something about it. Because if you let it go too long until the pinky is way, way down into the palm, then it can be very difficult to get it out straight.
No, it's just bent in the middle. I guess that would be the middle joint, right?
The middle joint in your finger?
Yes.
And it's just bent a little bit?
No, it's halfway bent.
Halfway bent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then I think it's reasonable to get something done about it, because if you let it get much worse than that, then it gets harder to straighten it out.
Okay. And I was told it's like a 6 months healing process?
I don't think so. You know, if you do surgery for this, what I usually do is to excise the nodule. I splint the finger out straight for 2 weeks, take the stitches out, and let the patient start moving at the end of 2 weeks.
Is it necessary to go under for this operation?
No, this can be done, depending on where it is in your hand, it can be done either with just local anesthesia or what's called an IV regional anesthetic, where they just numb up your arm.
Okay, thank you, doctor. I don't want to take up all the phone calls.
Thank you very much. Just remember to look the other way when the doctor's doing it. I don't think I'd want to see that. 800-348-2551. Let's see. How about Mike in Cheshire? Mike?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I've got severe Dupuytren's contracture. I had it surgically repaired 20 years ago, the old-fashioned way, with scraping and cutting. And I went to a hand specialist last year because my middle finger on my left hand and my pinky on my left hand are both at 90 degrees. And I've been living with it. I mean, when they fixed the pinky, it was straight for about 3 years, and it started coming back. Now, I went to a hand specialist a year and a half ago, and he recommended Xyloflex. Has Xyloflex progressed a lot since then? Because when I did extensive research on it, the results 2 years ago were horrendous.
Well, Xyloflex hasn't really changed at all compared to 2 years ago. But, I don't think the results are horrendous. I think it's got some advantages, and it doesn't involve an operation is obviously the main advantage. And
right.
The results in terms of getting your finger straight, are pretty reasonable. And particularly somebody who's had multiple prior operations, because it turns out if you've had previously been operated on that finger, the chances of getting a complication from the surgery, such as inadvertently severing one of the nerves that go to your finger, is higher. And so in somebody like you, I think you might be a very good candidate for the Xyoflex, and somebody should look into that.
Well, I looked into it last year, like I say, when I went to the hand specialist in Massachusetts, and, you know, then I did extensive more research on as far as what the complications are versus the results, and I just got scared, and I said no, and I just was wondering if Xyloflex has improved in the last year and a half.
No, it's not changed at all. It's the same.
Okay. That's all I wanted to ask.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. Rosemary in Springfield.
Hello. I'm calling about a surgical procedure I had on my right hand, which is my prominent hand. I had a trapezium removed on my thumb, and the left hand seems to be developing the same problem. At the same time, the doctor wanted to fuse the knuckle closest to the palm, because that's been an issue, and I didn't have that then. How often do you see fusing of the knuckle with the trapezium removal? And do you think that that's a good way to go?
When you say, you're talking about your thumb, when you say the knuckle, which which joint are you talking about? Which, how many joints away from the tip of your thumb are you talking about?
Two.
Okay, so that's the joint between the thumb, what the bone we call metacarpal, and the first phalanx. Do you have a lot of arthritis at that joint? Is it painful there?
Correct, yes.
Okay, well, if you just look at your hand function, most people actually have very little motion at that joint. So if you have a painful thumb MP joint, as we call it, fusing that joint is a good option because you're not really giving up any motion. So I think that if that joint is painful for you, then fusing that joint at the same time that they do the trapeziectomy would probably be a good idea.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling 800-348-2551. A few more minutes left on Vox Pop on Medical Monday with Dr. Russell Cecil, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon at St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam. Let's move on now to talk to Jim in Boston Spa. Jim?
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Hi, doctor. In 1977, I had a modified Jones reconstruction on my right knee. And about 9 years ago, I went back to see another orthopedist, and they said there was so much arthritis that they didn't want to do any more surgeries, and that I really was only a candidate for a future knee replacement. I guess my question is, why not now or why not then, and what's the wait? Why do I have to wait to get a knee replacement?
Tell me again how old you are.
I'll be 57 in March.
It's reasonable to try some alternatives like a cortisone shot or some type of hyaluronic acid injection, which is a lubricating injection, and maybe some exercises. But if you've done all that and the knee still bothers you and you find it difficult to get around and perform activities of daily living, it sounds to me like you're an excellent candidate for a knee replacement.
Yeah, been there, done that. Done just about all of it at this point.
Well, then I would go for it.
Okay. Is there any reason why they wouldn't do it at my age, or is it?
No, I don't think 57. You know, I hate to tell you, but 57 is not so young anymore.
Thanks a lot.
All right, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you for calling 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Richard in Ashley Falls. Richard.
Hi, doctor. I had two consultations regarding my right shoulder. And one was when I was told I didn't have any cartilage in that shoulder and that I needed shoulder replacement. I consulted with another surgeon who looked at it and said that I had arthritis in that shoulder and suggested I try cortisone shots, which have helped me immensely. I just had the cortisone shot about 2 months ago now. And I'm wondering, you know, how often would I get those cortisone shots, or how often can I get them without doing any other damage? I'm fairly active. Basically, that's my question. Before I have to go to shoulder surgery, I'd prefer not to do that if I don't have to.
Yeah, cortisone is once in a – you don't get it a lot, do you? You can't.
Well, the federal government will actually allow you to get it every 2 months,
yeah,
according to their guidelines. Okay. If it's a workers' compensation case, they'll only pay for it every 4 months. The cortisone, which is injected into your shoulder, is actually a crystallized type of cortisone, so it's mostly just stays in the shoulder. Very little of it gets in your circulation. So you don't have all of the side effects that you get from taking cortisone pills. If you're being helped by the cortisone shots, then I would tell you to keep getting the cortisone shots. And, you know, you get a cortisone shot and your shoulder feels good, I would just let it go until it starts to hurt, and then you go get another cortisone shot.
So every 2 months I've had it 2 months now, and it's still pretty good. And I'm just the next time it hurts me again, I should get it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 2 months is the maximum you could get it. But if you're good for 6 months, then whatever, just go for it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm afraid we're just about out of time. Probably can't take another call, but in the minute we do have left, doctor, you see everybody out jogging these days, and you've recommended exercise, but is jogging, can you overdo it and hurt those joints and hurt the muscles and wind up on your surgery table?
No, there's actually very good evidence that people who run marathons are no more likely to get arthritis mm-hmm. than people that don't. That's been extensively studied. And on balance, I would tell you that the exercise is a good thing because it keeps your weight down, and we know that being overweight is a big risk factor.
Same with the treadmill and
same with the treadmill, yeah.
Doing the quick walk on the treadmill or even the jog?
Absolutely. So I would encourage everybody to exercise.
Our guest today on the program has been Dr. Russell Cecil, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon at St. Mary's Hospital, our healthcare in Amsterdam, New York, a specialist in hand surgery and joint replacements, specifically some custom-made knee replacements. Dr. Cecil, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Brian.
Support for WAMC comes from Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Hospital, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, providing ophthalmology surgery and internal medicine services for dogs and cats, now offering laser eye surgery, VESHDeerfield.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on WAMC's Vox Pop. Our calls were answered today by Mary Vetter. Our engineer, Zach Malloy. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Brian Shields in for Alan Chartok. We'll see you next time on Vox Pop.